This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Welcome to Alive with Bhavna, a show where we talk about mindfulness, and as usual, in the studio with me is Natalie. How are you doing, Natalie?
I'm good, thank you, Bhavna. I like the way you say, as usual.
Well, it is as usual.
Well, you did have Kelly come in once as a stand-in, but she refused today, so I'm back.
As you were last week.
As I was last time, yes. Yes,
so, how have you been?
Well, it's been a challenging few weeks since our last chat. In my emotional and personal and developmental situation, but one that I'm sure most people listening would understand, and that's the loss of a close loved one in a short period of time. Quite a shock, but Bhavna, I used mindfulness to help me. So I'm really glad I had it in my toolkit.
Wonderful. In what way did you use it? How did you find it helpful?
Because of the feelings of helplessness and numbness, because I couldn't stop or prevent what was happening. Yeah. Instead of going into that organizational mode that I used to block everything out by taking on more and more. Could I just add that I just was in the middle of moving house in the middle of all of this as well. So apparently those are a couple up of the top of the most stressful things. I sat back and I allowed myself to sit and not use music or audiobooks or any of the other distraction techniques. I allowed myself to sit.
Nice.
And I didn't just sit for a few minutes. I sat for hours at a time.
And just noticing.
And was just being myself, in me, and not particularly thinking about anything. And if I did start to think about things, I brought myself back. I just needed, in a way, to completely switch off. And I use that mindfulness to help me. And it really did help. I wouldn't say that I'm being the Dalai Lama or anything for that whole time period. But the whole disengagement from the hecticness of... Is that a word even? the hectic situation I was in and my loved ones were in.
Yeah.
I knew the best way for me to cope was just to take that opportunity when I could to sit.
And just give yourself permission to just be.
Absolutely, just be. And I did some of the things that you've taught me in the past. I noticed my breathing. I checked in with different parts of my body to see how they were feeling. And yeah, I can tell you my heart was broken, but I knew it would mend because it's part of the grieving process. And I'm probably doing a lot better for all of that. So thank you, Bhavna.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
So that was like doing my homework on steroids this time, wasn't it? All those months where I'm just, I've done a half a minute here. I needed it and I'm so grateful.
Yeah. And it sounds like you didn't have like a routine of, this is my sitting time. It's just when you had a moment you would give yourself that permission to just get off the world, kind of that stop, pause.
Well, funnily enough, with the fact I have moved house, my routine at my house has changed. And I've discovered that in the mornings in this new location, I'm more inclined to just go and sit for a while and be me. And in in fact, it's not revealing too much. In the shower this morning, I was using that favourite body wash And I thought of you when I was in the shower, which, and I also was thinking, gosh, I've nearly run out. I must order some more. But it's that I've now got an awareness that I was taking time and thinking, oh, I love the scent of this. This makes me feel great. And it's the awareness.
Yeah. And that feeling of touching yourself and just feeling your body and you're brilliant.
But it's the change of location as well has changed, I suppose, habits or rhythms. And it's become easier for me to actually go, I'm taking this time.
Yeah. And the sitting, where did you do the sitting?
Sometimes at my dining table and sometimes out in the garden. Well, on the deck, on the bench, because we don't really have a garden, which is amazing because I'm not a gardener.
And just sitting out there and hearing the sounds and feeling nature around you, connecting with nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just breathing. Just breathing.
Yeah.
And I don't think, honestly, with what I've just been through, I would have coped in the way that I have done.
Yeah.
So, thank you. And anybody listening who thought that this girl here couldn't ever get into this mindfulness thing, when you really need it, it really helps.
It does. For me, it's been, like you're saying, that idea of it's a lifesaver. And I mean that literally and figuratively, that idea of this has saved my life in so many ways because I wouldn't be this person if I wasn't doing it.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that because I feel I've grown a lot in the last 4 weeks in the way that I'm dealing with myself in crisis mode and other people around me. And I'm not being as driven to fix everything because I know I can't. And if I try to, what's the old adage? You can't, you need to fill your own cup before you
fill others,
Yeah. Or I suppose the other adage is the oxygen mask on the plane. You put your own on first.
Yeah.
And I think I've always been the other way around. And I know we talked about it before that I was a human doing rather than a human being.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely feeling more like a human being. I feel calmer. I don't know if it's coming across, but I do feel calmer.
Yeah.
I've had so much I needed to achieve in the last few weeks and I haven't done it.
Yeah.
And you know what?
The world hasn't ended.
No. And, you know, it's not like I was being given a scorecard. Whose scorecard was I living up to?
Yeah.
Because normally by now I'll have unpacked everything. Everything will be organized. This will be up on the wall, blah, blah, blah. My clothes are still in bags on the floor in the bedroom, listeners. Luckily, I have a lot of black clothes. So generally you can pick things up out of the bag and make an outfit. So
shake them up and do
Yes, and as I always choose fabrics that don't need ironing, it's fine.
Brilliant. Yeah. And it is that idea. It is about just learning how to be. And in a crisis, it's, in some way, it's harder to be in a crisis, but also it's easier because this is when you have to do it.
Mm.
You have to do it.
I've also used the word no more often in the last few weeks. And even saying it hurts. No. But I've said it with kindness every time I've said it. People have wanted me to go and talk at different events or do different things. And normally I go running along and go, yeah, this is great. Even if I had a lot on myself and this time I've just gone, no, I'm sorry. I don't have the capacity for this at the moment.
Brilliant.
And you know what? The world didn't stop.
Yeah.
These people are still talking to me. They don't think anything less of me. So it's okay to be mindful. It's okay to say no. And it's okay to say, sorry, I don't have the capacity for this at the moment.
And it's okay to look after you and put your needs first.
And it's okay not to unpack all my boxes in what the...
And it is that it, once we stop trying to live according to, like you're saying, whatever's timetable.
Or scorecard or whatever thing we've made up in our own head.
Because we've made it up in our own head. And we've made up impossible standards in our own head. So we'll never manage to achieve it because that's how we've created the system. I make it impossible for me to achieve all these high expectations of I need to be superwoman and I need to be able to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this, all in one day, thank you. And then tomorrow we got a whole nother big bunch to do, and no one's judging me except me.
And I'm guessing we're always our harshest critics.
Yeah. And we keep ourselves distressed, and we keep ourselves... We keep punishing ourselves in that idea of going, you're not good enough. See, you didn't do that. You didn't unpack your clothes. You're not good enough. Because we're looking for evidence of I'm not good enough rather than going, oh, wow, my body feels good. I've used the wash. Actually, I am good enough because I've looked after me. And so what? The clothes are on the floor. Clothes don't have feelings. They're not going to go, oh, you haven't packed me for so long. I feel rejected. Let them sit on the floor.
Well, they're in the bags. But, when I get them out of the bags, I'll probably find I've got clothes I've forgotten I had because I've been living on a much smaller wardrobe. So is that the thing where we go to the capsule wardrobe? I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. But I've definitely taken a lot more notice of my nutrition.
Brilliant.
Because I needed to. Not just the... Not dieting or anything like that, but just being aware of the value of the food that I'm putting into my system. In fact, I've just been apologising to Bhavna before we started recording this show because I've just had a big salad for my lunch, which was actually last night's leftovers, and it had a lot of red onion in it, so... we're quite good. You're on radio at the moment or listening to this as a podcast, but... The nutritional value of food has meant more to me in the last few weeks to keeping my brain and my body connected as well.
Yeah.
Not just functioning, but connected.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Healing through food might be the next way we need to go.
And it is all that. It is... Once I connect with me, once I connect with what my body feels like, I'm less likely to abuse it with unhealthy food. I'm less likely to abuse it with unhealthy behaviors. And that was for me. I've been on diets most of my teenage years and carried on and gained weight and lost weight and gained weight and lost weight. But it was always an external motivation for I need to lose weight. I need to be a size this. I need to weigh this. I need to do that. As I've done this mindfulness thing and I've grown in self-love, my diet has changed not because of a number, because I'd go, when I eat that, I feel shitty. Why am I torturing me?
Mm.
And I'm lactose intolerant and I saw a doctor, we'll go 20 plus years, you can figure out how many the plus is. 20 plus years when I was still in South Africa, I saw this doctor and he told me to give up dairy. And I gave up dairy and I felt better. Then I started having dairy and then didn't feel better. And that has been my journey for 20 plus years, lots of pluses. And it was only when I started doing this, I recognized I'm the only one torturing me.
Mm.
That cheese or whatever, chocolate, whatever, is not worth it. I feel terrible afterwards. I'm the one who pays the price, no one else. And it was like, why would you torture yourself? And it was from that approach rather than you must give up dairy.
Mm.
And it's the same as what you're doing. Once we connect with our mind-body, we actually start doing these healthy things. But they almost happen naturally. You yeah. didn't plan to go, now I'm going to start. It's just naturally.
No, it's my craving for vegetables has gone crazy. Completely bonkers. Now, I've always liked vegetables a lot, but we all know about the cost of living, blah, blah, blah. And so what I would do was sort of buy less and expect to feel the same way. And I have stomach gut issues. And I'm also a woman of a particular age group, which I've since discovered that causes variations in your gut and your hormones and all those other things. I need my vegetables.
Yeah.
And I do better on the green leafy ones and the brassicas. And I have to have quite a lot of them now every day. That and salmon. Smoked salmon, sometimes plain salmon. The oily fish. I've never really craved it in the way I've been doing. And no, I am definitely not expecting. It's not that sort of craving. But I can feel it's my body wanting that boost. Those omega-3s, the D, the E's, It's like my whole body's gone, stop, Natalie. Stop taking vitamin pills. Do it the proper way.
Yeah. And we'll help you by... Yeah. Craving this and craving that. And I know when I did a retreat, a solo retreat at home once, well, I did more than once, but after this one particular time, post-retreat, I just went through a jars of sauerkraut because that's all I wanted for I don't know how long. It was just like, oh, sauerkraut, yay, sauerkraut. It was like, oh my
I love
God.
Sauerkraut.
But I needed that for as long as I needed. And then it was like,
I don't want it.
Okay, now I'm done now. Okay, cool. Now we need this and we need this. And it's listening to my body and going. Because listening to my mind is very different to listening to my body. You know, you might feel bored. And this is what I noticed when I was doing the solo retreat. You're bored and I'll go to the kitchen. Part of my retreat was fasting as well. So I'd go to the kitchen and it's like, why are you in the kitchen? You're fasting. It's like, oh, yes. I'm not hungry, but this is what I do. When I'm bored, I'll go to the kitchen and get something to eat. But because I was fasting, it was like, okay. Now what? What the hell do you do if you're not eating? It's like, oh, shit, okay. I don't know what to do with myself. But it's learning to listen to my body, learning to honoring me. With sleep, with food, with care, with the external stuff, the lotions, that just, I am important enough. And that's the message you're telling yourself is you are important enough to put you first. Then if you got time and energy, yes, go give the talk. Yes, if you want to share that, go for it, but not at expense of your mental and physical well-being.
And yet, I've always done it for all those years, and it's taken something major in my life, or a major change in my life, or a couple of major changes all at once in my life, and your sagely counsel beforehand, to realize what I've been doing. And it makes me think, gosh, are you a slow learner? Or
No.
I've just been living from a pre-program that somebody set me up for somewhere, and I've learnt it and adapted it and mutated it, and I've hurt myself through it. Yeah. So now's time that I'm, And the craving for beetroot, by the way, because you said sauerkraut, which I also love, but recently it was my craving for beetroot gone. So obviously I just needed whatever was in that beetroot.
For that time. And for me, it is this. It is learning how to look after me, learning how to value me. When I started mindfulness, some way into it, one day I came across the serenity prayer again, you know, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I sat there and I went, oh, but that's how I've been living my life for a while now. But I never made the choice to do it. I never had the words there to go, this is what I need to do.
Mm.
It's just my mind body went, this is a much healthier way to live. If I can do something about a problem, do something. If I can't, like you've experienced in the last few weeks, if I can't do anything about this, there's nothing to fix. There's nothing to do with this thing except feel what I'm feeling and allow my body to feel the grief and pain and sadness. And feel my broken heart knowing it will be okay, but I don't have to make it okay. I don't have to go, oh my God, how do I fix my broken heart? Just give it time and space and it will heal. And it's that mentality of learning what you need to do something with and what you don't need to do something with, giving yourself that space, which is, and that's why they call this a wisdom practice, because it's the wisdom that comes out, but it's not wisdom that you learn. It's just trusting yourself of going, oh, I'll just sit with this feeling. I'll just sit with what I'm feeling at the moment and allow it to be there knowing it's okay. It's not going to kill me. It feels shitty, but it's not going to kill me.
That's right. And I also discovered, you know, it's okay to shed a tear when I feel like I want to shed a tear. Often it is only just one tear because it's something that's reminded me or something that was said, or I'm just going to go and phone them and I realize that they're not on the other end of this phone number anymore. And it's okay.
Yeah.
And it will get better. I will always miss them, but actually I think they're with me all the time now anyway.
Yeah.
And whether people believe that or not, that's up to them. But I feel comfort in that. And the way electrical and mechanical things have been playing up around me, I'd say that this person is particularly having some fun. And it's not just me that's experienced that, my partner has as well. And we've both laughed at those occasions, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, because there's nothing to fix. You know, you don't have to fix the grieving. You don't have to fix you. All you need to do is be a loving mother to you and hold yourself in your distress and go, of course, my darling, you said, of course it's painful. Come here, let me give you a hug. And I'll hold you for as long as you need until you say, okay, now I'm ready to go play again. And then you go play again and you go, oh, actually, I'm sad again. And you come in for another hug and just being held.
Yeah. And it's really interesting for me to do that because growing up, I was in an environment where most of the time I was told I shouldn't show emotion. I wasn't to cry. You know, very strict military sort of thing coming through my upbringing. But I understand why now as well. So I'm glad I've learnt and moved forward. Yeah. And everybody around me has learnt and moved forward too. So it doesn't happen in my family that way anymore either. So life's a journey.
Life's a journey, definitely. And that's just such amazing to hear you doing the work and hearing how far you've come. And really difficult situation. And in that, you actually valued you enough to look after you rather than, for some people, they also do the opposite of when times are hard, they drop the self-care. Whereas you went to the self-care, which is honoring you. So thank you for going to the self-care as your tool rather than reducing self-care in this critical period.
And I'm going to thank you, Bhavna, for giving me the tools, because prior to us having these conversations with each other and the world at large, I didn't have those tools, or I did, but I didn't realize they were tools. I didn't know how to use them, and I didn't give myself time and space, and now I do. Thank you.
Thank you. And on that brilliant note, we will end this show. So thank you so much for sharing your journey and sharing your experience and being so vulnerable and honest. And it's lovely working with you.
It's lovely working with you, Bhavna. And it's interesting you say it's a bit about being vulnerable and honest. I think in life, it is the only way to be.
Yeah.
Because through that, you grow yourself, but also others will grow too. Thank you.
Thank you. And that's the painful way of being, but it's so brilliant. It's so exciting. It's so wow. It's joyous. It's free as well.
Mm. Mm. It is.
So thank you for listening. And if you want to learn mindfulness or do any of these practices, please contact me. All my details are live on the website, alivepsych.co.nz. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.